presenting Charles Boyer.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in introducing a new series starring Mr. Charles Boyer as Michel.
Waiter, one moment, please.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, the young lady at the corner table, the one with the soft white shoulders, the gray blue eyes.
Oh, yes.
I am very nearsighted. Does the gentleman with her happen to be my brother, Prince de Vignac?
Oh, no, sir. He's an American writer, Mr. Bart Conway.
Oh, a writer. Yes. Oh, how very interesting. I hope he always pays his bills.
Oh, always, sir. Plenty of money.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
When do you find time to write, Mr. Conway? I see you every place.
Well, the writer can only write part of the day, my dear. You must also look for story material.
Oh, is that why you're taking me to dinner?
No. You're here because I find you tremendously attractive. I do want
to
know...
I beg your pardon, Monsieur Conway.
What is it, waiter?
You're wanted at the telephone, sir.
Well, bring me a phone.
I'm sorry, but the table service has been discontinued.
Oh, no. I was here for lunch.
At tea, sir. No more table service.
Excuse me, my dear. I'll be right back.
Mademoiselle, get out of here.
How dare you? What do you mean?
Anyway, this man is old enough to be your father. It sickens me to see you with him.
Oh, I am older. I'll have you discharged.
Now, one moment.
Yes?
You cannot disturb the maître d'hôtel when he is preparing a Caesar salad. And besides, there was no phone call.
No phone call?
No, mademoiselle. I am from the police. We're about to make an arrest. Do you wish to be involved?
Oh, no, of course I don't.
Well, then, please, do as I tell you. Go. At once.
Oh, all right. I'll go. Thank you.
Come. Don't stand there looking at the women guests. People are waiting for service.
Are you addressing me?
Oh, I thought... I beg your pardon, monsieur.
I'm looking for Mr. Bart Conway, the writer.
Yes. This is his table right here.
Oh, thank you. Will you tell him that Baron Michel de Montrichard de Frontenac has arrived?
Certainly, monsieur le baron. Certainly.
That is Michel. I wish I could tell you how you would meet him and when, but I am no clairvoyant. I can't imagine ever seeing him any place where there's not the flash of a white shoulder or the glint of some yellow gold. But even this is not a certainty. So that's Michel. The Baron indeed. But then, maybe he is. Who knows? Only Michel, I guess, or his alter ego, Mr. Charles Boyer. There he sits, a soldier of fortune in his uniform of white tie and tails, ordering luxuriously as only a gourmet can a Parisian dinner, which I firmly believe will never be paid for by Michel.
I beg your pardon, but this table is taken.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Conway. You're
the waiter.
I was. I've spoiled your entire evening, I know. You must let me make amends for that.
Well, where's the young lady?
Oh, I sent her away.
Sent her away? But what is this? Why? How do you know me? And what business is it of yours?
One thing at a time, Mr. Conway. I know you because you're quite a well-known writer. It is no business of mine whatsoever. But if you're going to be fleeced, I should like to see it happen with a bit of subtlety.
I'm sensitive about these things. Fleeced? Do you think I'm a child?
Oh, in Paris, my dear sir, age, strength, even wisdom are poor weapons against the Molineux gown and the God-given elements to fill it.
I've never heard such impertinence, such nerve. I think you're an adventurer, Baron, or whatever you call yourself. And I'm going to have you run in.
As you will, Mr. Conway, but why not look squarely at the facts? Here you were, a brilliant writer, attractive, looking forward to an enchanting evening of Parisian romance. Now, mind you, had this been in the cards for you, believe me, I would have stretched out my hands in a true benediction. But I did not care to read in my morning paper of my favorite American author found beaten up in an alley or floating in the Seine.
Oh, nonsense. She was...
Yes, she was very pretty, but very dangerous for you, believe me. Hmm. But your glass is empty. Permit me.
Well, all right. What did you say your name was, Baron?
Just call me Michel. There. To our most fortunate meeting and a long friendship.
I ought to call a policeman.
Well, then you would be a loser, my friend. You see, I intend to make up for spoiling your evening of romance.
Oh, you do?
After all, story material to a writer is his lifeblood. You waste half your life seeking ideas. Well, I propose to save exactly half your life.
At a price?
I leave that to you, my friend. Look, I will tell you a story tonight. Mm. If you can use it, well, I may accept $200. Dollars, please.
And if I don't like your story?
Well, then I shall be delighted to be your guest for this excellent dinner.
Oh. Well, you win. I can't afford not to listen.
Why is it, Mr. Conway, that so many adventures begin in the rain?
Was it raining?
Horrible rain. English rain.
England?
Upper Hitchin, near Manchester, at a railway station. The station was very dreary, and I was very wet. I was also cold, hungry, and quite without funds.
Broke.
Broke. But my life was not without beauty. In my hands, Mr. Conway, I held a bouquet of roses.
A nice touch.
Now, I do not particularly like the word touch, Mr. Conway.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I ask you, what was I doing at Upper Hitchin with a bouquet of roses?
What?
An appointment with destiny. But destiny had not arrived. It was an affair of the heart. I had left my beloved Paris to meet a lady and a lady.
Stood you up?
Well, let us say merely that the flowers would go unpresented. Instead, I was to discover a garden of paradise. A garden in which I was to play
what?
The apple or the serpent? I pulled my coat collar around my neck. I shook the rain from my shoes and I said to myself, Eva, mes enfants, quel chien climat. Then a hand touched my shoulder.
Beg pardon, sir. I'm from Mr. Smith.
Huh? Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it, my friend. I hope he is drier than I am.
You're the French gentleman from Paris?
I am French and from Paris.
Mr. Smith has sent the car for you, sir.
Oh, well, that is most kind of him.
He's waiting for you at the manor house, sir.
Manor house?
Oh, it's very historic, sir. We'll make your stay very comfortable.
Oh, well, yes. You and Mr. Smith might try. But please tell me, how did you happen to recognize me?
Why, by the bouquet of roses, sir.
By the... Oh, I see. It is historic indeed. Battlements, turrets. Oh, is that Mr. Smith's suit of armor?
No, sir. May I take your things, sir?
Hmm? Oh, thank you. My hat, my coat, and my roses.
Mr. Smith will be down presently, sir. But Miss Alice is waiting for you in the drawing room.
Oh, she is? Tell me, is she pretty?
If I may be permitted a private opinion... Very lovely, sir.
So, in that case, give me those roses. They were not for you.
Oh, hello. You're here at last.
Mademoiselle?
I was afraid Thomas might not spot you. I'm so glad he did. You see, Father couldn't give him any description of you since we'd never seen you.
He did very well. Mademoiselle, will you accept these flowers as a token of my admiration?
Roses. Oh, thank you, Monsieur le Baron. Most of my friends wouldn't have been so thoughtful.
Oh, they might not have dared. But when I saw you sitting there like a princess out of the Arabian Nights, I did there.
I met a princess once at a charity bazaar. She was terribly matter-of-fact and businesslike.
Oh, I'm talking of the princess in the fairy tale. They're the only real ones.
I wonder why I'm not laughing at you. Compliments like that usually get laughed at nowadays.
We of Provence pay tribute to beauty straight out of the heart. It is true. It is sincere. And what comes from the heart is never to be laughed at.
Now, I've always heard a Frenchman makes love to every woman he meets.
Not every woman. Only if she's pretty.
I'd almost forgotten a man could be so amusing, Michel.
Silly, happy. Isn't that wonderful? I walk into this room and life begins to sing again. I even forget your dreadful climate. So, if I make love to you, you have only yourself to blame. Do you mind?
Let me warn you, I've never been swept off my feet.
Oh, you poor girl. What a tragedy.
May I have my hand back, please?
Hmm?
Thank you. Do all art connoisseurs behave this way?
Am I an art connoisseur?
Look, to hear Father and Jules Dancourt tell it, you're one of the best in the world.
Well, they are most generous.
Would you like to see the painting?
The painting? You think I'm a man who wants to look at pictures, things of paint and canvas, when before me sits reality?
You're the maddest man I ever met.
I cannot help myself. Do you object to the things I've said?
No, but you mustn't say them.
Ah, there you are. Oh, Alice, I see you've made our guest comfortable.
Oh, Monsieur le Baron, this is my father.
How do you do?
Delighted to have you with us. Delighted.
And I, Mrs. Smith, I'm in your debt.
Oh, for what?
For having such a lovely daughter and such a beautiful house.
A very old house. Came down in the family. But they forgot to send down funds for the upkeep. How about a good cigar?
Well,
best of Anna, first-rate smoke.
Oh, thank you.
Alice, light the bed in a cigar.
And a scotch with water.
What's that?
Well, you put your daughter to work, so I put you to work. Scotch with water.
Oh, yes, of course.
Here's the light.
Now, Miss Alice, such lovely hands must not tremble.
Please.
Yes, here we are. Scotch and water.
Scotch. The marriage of the sun and the grain.
I like a man who likes the stuff. Just about perfect, if I do say so myself.
And I shall drink a toast to the patron saint of unfortunate travelers who is taking such splendid care of me.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll run along. I know you two are eager to talk about the painting.
Yes, clear out.
What an odd way to talk to your daughter.
Oh, sorry. Nervy, I expect. I adore the ground she walks on. I'm doing it all for her sake. Well, let's get down to it. Ah, Baron. That's a good one.
Is it?
Imagine you a Baron.
The truth requires no imagination.
Oh, now, there's no need to put it on with me.
Well, sir, in that case, there's nothing for me to do but bid you good night.
Oh, Jules Dancourt told me you were a caution. What an air. A gentleman, if I ever saw one. I take it Dancourt explained the whole thing to you.
The whole thing? Vaguely.
We'll go into the study. You must see the painting.
Oh, by all means. I've become most curious about this painting.
You should be. In here. Dancourt said you're the only man for this job.
Well, how very kind of him.
You're sure you can carry it off, playing the wealthy French art collector?
Mr. Smith, a person of my sort never finds it difficult pretending to be something that he is not.
Ah, good. You come highly recommended. Ah, there we are, over the fireplace. Oh, let me light it properly. There. Oh.
A coro. His early period. Magnificent.
Painting to be proud of, isn't it?
If I owned it, I should not be proud. I should be humble.
Well, then be humble. You do own it.
I do? Well, thank you.
For purposes of the transaction.
Yes, of course, the transaction.
Ah. Would you question its authenticity?
Why, not for a moment.
Picked it up in London for £8.
What?
Work of a young art forger I know.
Astounding.
Fake, pure fake. And it's yours.
You're most generous.
Our client will be here shortly for dinner. He has plenty, and he can afford it.
He? Who?
Young Harry Ralston, Lord Ralston's boy.
Lord Ralston money.
He wants this Corot, but it belongs to you. Now, we've talked price. I told him you might accept £3,000. Dry him at three, but I know he'll settle for 2,000.
And do I understand we are partners?
No, not at all. You'll be paid a fair commission. But as far as young Harry is concerned, you see, you're my old chum from France. Ruined nobleman with an historic chateau, family treasures and all that.
That's very ingenious. Tell me, you've done this before?
Well, only when the treasury gets low. Now, for your end, I think £400 is fair.
Well, 500 is a round figure.
None of your tricks, not a halfpenny over 450.
Well, in that case, what time does the next train leave for London?
Oh, very well, 500.
Thank you. You may refill my glass.
Huh? Oh, yes, your glass. You have the gall of a prince.
Wait until you get to know a baron better.
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, yes, Roger.
Another gentleman has arrived.
Oh, it's Harry Ralston. Show him in.
But it isn't Mr. Ralston, sir.
Well, then who the devil is it?
A French gentleman, sir, with a bouquet of roses.
Mr. Smith, what does it mean? Why did you leave me standing in the rain at the station of a waiting?
What did you say?
Why do you leave me standing in the rain at the station of Upper Hitching?
Oh, that's what you said. Who are you?
Achille Dupont. I shall report this treatment to Jules Dancourt.
Dupont? Well, then, who are you?
Permit me. Baron Michel Dumont-Richard de Frontenac.
An imposter.
Oh, no. No, Mr. Smith. Your old pal. The ruined nobleman with a historic chateau. Our treasures and all that. Remember?
Oh,
you drop your glass. Pour yourself another drink. It's on me. Oh, Rogers.
Yes, sir?
Do not have the champagne too cold for dinner. And for the roast, I would suggest a good burgundy. Pommard or Chambertin 1937 will do.
Very good, sir.
Well, I'll be.
Oh, please be careful, Mr. Smith. I do not like so much broken glass on the floor.
Well, go on with your story.
I'm sorry. I can't imagine what it is, my dear Mr. Conway. My throat.
Dry, I imagine.
Very. I think possibly another bottle of wine would do it.
In a moment, we'll return to Charles Boyer. But first, here's a message for the parents of every child who'll reach school age before 1957. It concerns the education of that child, an education that in years past could be taken for granted. During the next 7 years, it won't be quite that simple because America's schools are going to be submitted to an enormous strain. Because of the increased birth rate during and since the war, millions of additional youngsters are going to be starting their education. Your interest and assistance can bring them the classrooms and equipment and books they'll need. You can help out by contacting the local civic groups and school boards, which are trying to ready educational facilities for the expected influx. And you can gain additional information by writing to the National Commission of Public Schools, New York, New York. That's the National Citizens Commission for Public Schools, New York, New York. Protect the future of your children and of your community by preparing for that future. Make certain of their education. Better schools make better communities. Good citizens everywhere are helping. NBC is presenting Charles Boyer. As Michelle sits at his ease in a smart Parisian restaurant over a fresh bottle of champagne, he is anticipating that his new friend, Bart Conway, will pick up the substantial check.
Ah, my dear Conway, an excellent dinner. Oh, the pheasant is superb.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, Michelle. I shall deduct its price if I buy your story.
Oh, now, the dinner, I should have mentioned, is always part of the price for my story.
Well, get on with it, man. Get on with it.
Well, consider my predicament. Just because I was holding a bouquet of roses at a railway station, I was taken for someone else and escorted to the home of Mr. Smith. I must say I found her daughter most attractive. I couldn't say as much for her father, but £3,000 were involved, and I am a man of business. Such a situation requires the greatest delicacy and savoir-faire.
Pick Baron, just who the devil are you?
You forget all your friends so quickly.
I am authentic. The roses identify me. I am the Baron.
But, Monsieur Dupont, too late to assist in fleecing the son of Lord Ralston.
If Harry Ralston wants to buy a forged Corot, that's his business.
And the business of the French Sûreté.
What?
Allow me to identify myself. Inspector Michel de Frontenac.
The police.
Oh, good heavens, no.
Oh, I have nothing to do with it. I am but a poor Frenchman, a visitor.
What does the French Sûreté have to do with this? Tell me that.
Mr. Smith, if you do not lower your voice, I shall be obliged to call on Scotland Yard immediately.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, hold on, Anna. Don't misunderstand
me. I shall call on the English police if you force me to...
Oh, we shall not force you, monsieur.
I've spent months tracing this pony Corot. It is a crime against the art of France. I must say, I regret the consequences this affair shall have on your daughter.
Alice. Oh, Monsieur Le Baron, Inspector, don't destroy her chance for happiness.
Well, there is my duty. What would you have me do?
Take the Corot and go. Burn it, but leave us in peace.
Unfortunately, it is not so simple. I must consider the case and all that it involves. Now tell me. Young Harry Ralston is coming to dinner?
Yes, he's expected any moment.
Yes. Well, go to your rooms and remain there. I shall think, and we shall dine together as if nothing had happened.
You're staying for dinner?
Naturally. You heard me arrange for the wine, didn't you? Alice.
Oh, Michel. You startled me.
Oh, forgive me. But you should not be alone to look at the moon. All through dinner, as I watched you across the candles, I fought myself to keep from getting up and going to your side.
I'm glad you won your battle.
You're glad?
Father would have been furious.
Who cares?
Where are the others?
Oh, still with their port and cigars. Such a strange custom when they could be with you.
Michel, you mustn't talk to me this way.
I cannot help myself. Do you think when I got up this morning I was miserable, lonely? Then I saw you, I heard your lovely voice, and I've lost my head and my heart. I can think of nothing, of no one else but you.
It's a good thing Harry isn't listening.
Harry?
Harry Ralston. He sat across from you.
Well, and if you were listening?
I'm afraid he'd object. You see, I'm going to marry him.
You are? Why?
Well, I happen to be terribly fond of him. We grew up together.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
Now, be honest, Michel. You never gave me the chance.
Then you were amusing yourself.
That isn't true. Weren't you trying to sweep me off my feet?
Just the same, you should have warned me. Given me some hint.
Alice!
Yes, Harry?
Oh, you're in here. Oh, I hope I'm not interrupting you.
Harry, of course not.
I was wondering, Baron, if we might talk about your painting now.
Well, I suppose so. The Corot has been in my family for many years. And now to part with it, I must say it's hard, very hard.
Please, Baron, I don't want to embarrass you in any way.
Oh, no, don't misunderstand me. I have so many paintings. My house in Paris, the chateau in Provence.
Then could I see the painting, please?
Well, if you will, just look over your left shoulder.
Why, it's right here. Oh, it's a beauty. Do you like it, Alice?
I love it. But I can't imagine the Baron parting with such a treasure.
Now, please, Miss Smith, do not let imagination stand in our way.
Beg pardon, sir. Mr. Smith would like to speak with you in the drawing room, sir.
I would. Well, Miss Alice, Mr. Ralston, will you excuse me? You wanted to see me?
Oh, yes, Inspector. I've been thinking.
I said I would do that for you.
I'd like to see your papers from the French Sûreté.
Well, this is a most unusual attitude for a man who faces prison.
Where are your papers?
Papers?
Papers.
I don't have any.
I knew it.
It took you a long time to discover I was not a policeman.
I've never met a policeman who was also an expert on vintage wine.
I must remember that in the future. Stupid slip.
Thank you to get out of this house.
No, my dear friend, be sensible. You wish me to sell the painting to young Ralston. You need me to sell it for you, since he and Alice know me as the Baron. So, you see, in short, we're partners again.
Huh. That's dashed decent of you.
But I shall require my £500 commission.
Oh, I have no choice, eh?
Payable in advance.
Oh, get out.
Very well. Ring for your butler to fetch my things.
No, wait. I'll give you £100.
Good night, Mr. Smith. I shall take my painting with me.
What? Now, hold on.
Well, you gave it to me.
I have never met the likes of you.
The money, please.
Oh, very well. Here.
Thank you. Three, four, five. Correct.
But remember your end of the bargain. Now, you give me Ralston's check. And don't set the price too high. Start at 3,000.
Shall we go in?
Baron, I've made up my mind. I want this Corot.
Oh, I'm sure the Baron's agreeable.
Well, what is your price, sir?
Oh, must we discuss money?
Yes, we jolly well must.
Well, Mr. Smith, you know my terms. I prefer to have you discuss the matter with Mr. Ralston.
Very glad to. Excellent suggestion. Come sit at the desk, Harry.
Now, I want to be very fair about
this. Oh, I'll see to that, my boy.
Yeah. You're very kind to do this, Michel.
Well, I must say he's a nice boy. He almost deserves his good fortune. Alice, I hope you will always be very happy.
Thank you,
Michel. I think a fair price, my boy.
May I have your hand, please?
I say there, what's going on? Kissing my fiancé's hand?
Gentlemen, I have a little announcement to make. I've fallen desperately in love with Miss Alice.
My dear sir.
Now, look here, Baron.
But I do not wish to take her away from you, Harry. My love was brief, hopeless, this I know. But it will warm me to my dying hour.
Well, now that's very touching. Yes. Well, come along, gentlemen. Let's get down to business.
Yes, Baron. Will you set a price?
Very well. Now, let me see. I'm extremely ignorant of such matters. But, well, considering the present state of the pound sterling, the pound franc exchange, current French taxes, English monetary restrictions, and, of course, the sublime beauty of the coral. Well, shall we say £5,000?
What?
5,000? Oh, I'm afraid that's a little steep.
Yes, I think so, too. Baron, couldn't you say £3,000?
Impossible. But, Harry, knowledge is also money. And the knowledge that this painting shall hang in your home when you and Alice are married, that to me is worth, oh, at least £1,000. So I shall accept 4,000.
No, stop.
Please, Father.
I'm afraid not, Baron. I can't go beyond 3,000.
And we do so want the painting.
Would it make you really happy?
Well, £3,000 would make all of us dashed well happy.
In that case, I've changed my mind. I do not wish to sell.
Not sell? What the devil do you mean?
For those who know the value of true beauty, the coral is beyond price. So, Harry, Alice, I give it to you as a wedding present.
You what?
You're much too generous, sir.
Not at all.
He can dash well afford to be.
Oh, thank you, Michel. We shall always treasure it.
Always.
By Jove. You're an amazing man.
Well, I'm Mr. Smith. That's me. Well, Mr. Conway, that's me.
So they took the picture?
Oh, of course. It hangs today in Ralston Hall.
Hmm.
You know, I stayed with Mr. Smith for 6 weeks. He had an excellent chef. And I was best man at the wedding.
Oh, no. Well, you came away with £500 in your pocket.
On the contrary, only £1.
Hmm?
Well, the rest went for flowers and tips. You know, I had my position to keep up.
Oh. Well, I suppose you've earned your $200.
Oh.
Here you are.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait a second. You said you were standing on the station at Upper Hitching with a bouquet of roses in your hand. What was it for?
Oh, the bouquet. Oh, yes, of course. another bottle of champagne, please.
Mm.
That, my dear Conway, is quite another story. And another $200.
You have just heard the first in a new series starring Mr. Charles Boyer The role of Bart Conway was played by
Hanley Stafford.
Also in the cast were Viola Vaughn, Alma Lawton, Joseph Kearns, Donald Morrison, John Stevenson, Fritz Feld, and Alec Harford. Our show was produced and directed by Nat Wolfe from an adaptation of the original story written by William J. Locke. The characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Boyda and Clement Scott Gilbert. Now, here again is Mr. Charles Boyer, or, that is, Michelle.
Thank you, monsieur. One always accepts money, but there are few who accept responsibility of spending it. Well, quite naturally, I am one of these. However, if I were a wise man, I would, of course, invest it in United States saving bonds. Why don't you? Good night.
Doug Gourlay speaking. Stay tuned for the thrilling Big Town on NBC.